We pray. Heavenly Father, God of all grace and glory, you saw all of our days before one of them came to be. Before we are even aware, you know what we need and how you are going to provide for us. Bless us. Give us a holy confidence born of your grace alone, that our lives might rest securely in your hands and that we might rejoice in our good Savior's voice. Bless us. Guide us ever onward and strengthen us for the days ahead. In Christ our Savior. Amen. If you had been that 13th disciple in that boat that night, would you have gotten seasick? Their evening voyage started out oh so calm. They were exhausted from a jam-packed day of ministry. Jesus, being human, went to the back of the boat, found a cushion, and went to sleep. His disciples finally had a break from the crowds. The stars filled the night sky, and the disciples could take a breath and unwind. The wind filled their sail and pushed their tiny boat silently through the dark waters. The disciples didn't realize that a storm was racing down the mountains and was about to attack the Sea of Galilee. Oh, how that storm would turn up the water, kind of like gigantic hands being plunged into a bathroom sink. How quickly things would change. Picture the waves lifting up their tiny boat as though to put it on some pedestal, only to let it go crashing down into a big hollow bowl of water. Imagine waves as big as this building rising up all around them. One of those waves coming crashing down upon them and would certainly flip their boat and throw them into the bottom of the sea. They came running to sleeping Jesus. "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" How could Jesus possibly be sleeping through that storm? Would Jesus really fail to rescue them from certain death? "Don't you care if we drown?" It was like they were saying, "Jesus, don't you get it? We're about to die." Some Christians mistakenly think that Jesus was teaching his disciples in this moment that if they had faith, no harm would ever come to God's children. Throughout all of time, have God's children never drowned out in a sea? Yes, they have. Well, does that mean that they had a puny little faith? No. Notice the difference between Jesus' disciples on the Sea of Galilee in this moment and Job that we read from earlier. At the end of the day, Jesus' disciples had a few sore muscles from bailing water. Job, on the other hand, lost everything he had in this world. How would you feel to stand in his shoes? If you were by chance a rancher in Texas and rustlers stole your entire herd of 1,000 steers, and in that very same day your 7 sons and 3 daughters were partying together and watching the World Series when a gas leak began and the entire house exploded. They all died. A cement truck running over me, couldn't crush me more than to have to lose a child of mine, let alone all of a sudden losing all my children. I can't think of the horror. While Mr. and Mrs. Job were planning a funeral, big, painful boils developed all over Job, from the scalping of his head to the heel of his feet. Painful boils. Job suffered enormously. At first, he dealt honorably with the pain. You remember what he said? The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. And Scripture records, in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. As the painful weeks rolled on, Job became frustrated with God. His tone changed a little bit. He said, if only I knew where to find him. If only I could go to his dwelling. I would state my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would find out what he would answer me and consider what he would say to me. It was as though Job were saying, God, don't you get it? Don't you see or care about how much I am hurting? When our boss tells us we can no longer work for them, or a stranger shows up at our door to serve us with divorce papers, or when we see the flames and smell the smoke of our house going up in an inferno, or when we're sitting in a car that looks more like a crushed soda can, or when we're going to our chemo treatment for the 20th time, or when we have been viciously beat up or sexually assaulted, or when we're standing over our child as he lies in his coffin, have we ever wondered, God, don't you get it? Does God get it? Of course God gets it. God is God. God understands everything. He knows how much we are hurting. Our God Jesus understands it in a much more personal level. No one, not even Job, has suffered as much as Jesus has suffered. He was not only hated and beaten beyond recognition and died of crucifixion, Jesus suffered the punishment for all sins of all people. When it comes to suffering, Jesus gets it. He suffered death in order to give us life. God gets it. He knows it. But does he care? If he cares so much, why does he allow us to suffer so much? In the Bible, there's a book of sorrows. It's called Lamentations. It reveals something remarkable to us about our God. In the middle of the sufferings, Jeremiah the prophet declares, God does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. Let me read that again. God does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. God is not apathetic to our pain. He has a father's heart. He forced himself to bring affliction and grief upon his own son, Jesus. He pushed himself to punish himself. Jesus, so that we would never feel the curse of our sins. He poured out his holy judgment on his Son in order to shield us from his condemnation. Surprisingly, neither Jesus in this boat on the Sea of Galilee nor God the Father finally talking to Job, neither one sound like a compassionate and merciful God. Jesus scolded. "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" God the Father said to Job, "Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you shall answer me." In both cases, God's children were sinning. They were not just frightened and hurting. They were doubting God's promises and questioning God's goodness. The disciples doubted, "Don't you care?" Job challenged, "He would answer me." Jesus cried in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed for the cup of suffering to be taken away from him. But in his sorrow, he requested, "Lord, your will be done, not mine." In his pain, Jesus still held on to the Heavenly Father's goodness and mercy. God asks us, "My children, don't you get it? You live in a cardboard dollhouse of a world. You want everything just the way you want it, but everything will soon be burnt up. Don't you get it? I am God, and you are not. Who do you think you are? I don't answer to you. You answer to me. I have given my Son over to death so that you could have life with me forever. Have I not proven my love for you and my ability to save you? Can the storms and tears of this life make you forget your adoption and my promises? I will work in all things for the good of those who love me. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me. I have reasons for the sufferings that I allow in your life. You don't need to understand my reasons, but you do need to believe my words." When our boat is about to be swamped and death is but moments away, or when we're sitting in the ash pile and our body and hearts are screaming out in pain, can we remember the words of Jeremiah the prophet? "I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. For no one is cast off from the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love." Jesus got up, rebuked the wind and the waves. "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Our Savior can do anything. He loves us and saves us every single day. Notice what Mark records. The disciples asked each other, "Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." They had been with him and had seen his miracles. They were so slow. When it is our skin in the game, when we are the ones who are suffering, all of a sudden it becomes very easy to doubt and lose our faith. Out of one eye we see all the pain and horror and grief, and out of the other eye we see our Savior looking at us, calling for us to trust him, to trust that he has control of that which terrifies us, that he loves us, that he will bring us through whatever he decides is good for us to bear, and that he will bring us closer to himself by having gone through it. God says, "Don't you get it?" We are in that boat with the disciples, that boat called life. The storms will shake us to our core. They will come. And as the adrenaline flows, may our faith rise up within us. In those hours of testing, may we walk by faith and not by sight. Even when disaster is all that we can see, may we be still and know that God is God. He has a plan to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us hope and a future. Our times are in his hands. What a good place to live out all of our days. Loving Father, eternal Savior, may your will be done always. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, our times are in your hands. Be with us. Sanctify this moment as we turn our hearts and our eyes toward you. Work in all the good and difficult days, dear Lord, that your name may be praised and we might take your word ever deeper to heart. Bless us. Guide us ever onward. In Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen.